Good afternoon. Scripture reading today, all four passages come from Book of Daniel, chapter 2. Verse 2 to 3. In the second year of reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His spirit was troubled, and his sleep left him. Then the king commanded that the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans be summoned to tell the king his dreams. So they came in and stood before the king. And the king said to them, I had a dream, and my spirit is troubled to know the dream. 2:17-20. Then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, and told them to seek mercy from God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. That the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. 3:26-30. The king declared to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, Are you able to make known to me the dream that I have seen and its interpretation? Daniel answered the king and said, No wise man, enchanters, magicians, or astrologers can show to the king the mystery that the king has asked. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mystery, and he has made known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the later days. Your dream and the vision of your heart ahead as you lay in bed are these. To you, O kings, as you lay in bed came thoughts of what would be after this, and he who reveals mysteries make known to you what is to be. But as for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because of any wisdom that I have more than all the living, but in order that the interpretation may be made known to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your mind. 4:44-45. And in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break in pieces all this kingdom that bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever. Just as you saw that a stone was cut from a mountain by no human hand, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold. A great God has made known to the king what shall be after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation sure. Lastly, 47. The king answered and said to Daniel, Truly your God is God of gods and Lord of kings, and the revealer of mysteries. For you have been able to reveal this mystery. This is the word of God. Amen.
Good morning. Pastor Chris and his family are in Arizona celebrating Christmas and New Year's together. So I'm here today. I've just returned from 10 days in India, where I was teaching a group of pastors the book of Daniel for 5 days. So sit back and relax for the next 5 days. We'll be here together studying the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel is one of the most fascinating and important books in all the Bible. It connects the Old Testament with the New Testament. Daniel is the only book in the Old Testament that every chapter is mentioned somewhere in the New Testament. And without the book of Daniel, there are many portions of the Bible that we would never understand, especially in the book of Revelation. The book of Daniel is set during the Babylonian captivity. This was a 70-year period when the people of Israel were taken captive into Babylon as a punishment for their sins of idolatry and rebellion against God. Never underestimate this event. This was one of the two most important and greatest events in Old Testament history: the Exodus and the Passover and the Babylonian captivity. This captivity was a turning point in the history of redemption. After this, the Israelites never practiced idolatry again. This was also the end of the Old Testament theocracy, when God directly ruled over his people as their king. It's appropriate that we study this passage today at this time of the year. Daniel reveals the exact month when the Lord Jesus Christ would be born. And next Sunday, we'll be celebrating Epiphany, when the wise men came from the east to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. How did these wise men know to follow this particular star? 500 years earlier, a 16-year-old boy named Daniel was taken captive to Babylon, and God gave him unusual and special wisdom, and he became the chief of all the wise men in Babylon. And Daniel loved God, and he loved the scriptures, and no doubt he taught this prophecy of Balaam to the other wise men in Babylon. This message of Balaam, son of Beor, who hears the words of God, who sees a vision from the Almighty: I see him, not here and now. I perceive him, but in the distant future, a star will rise from Jacob, a scepter will emerge from Israel, and one from Jacob shall exercise dominion. Daniel would have taught this prophecy to the other wise men, and they would have passed it on generation by generation down to the wise men at the time of the birth of Jesus, so that these wise men would have been looking for this star and would have found the newborn king. I want us to look briefly at Daniel chapter 2 this morning to see what God is doing. And second, to see what Nebuchadnezzar is doing. And then finally, what is Daniel doing? What is God doing? The theme of the book of Daniel is God's sovereign rule over all the nations. This is mentioned in every chapter in Daniel. And Daniel needs no doubt that the Lord is in control of all nations and all things. Daniel gives a uniquely God-centered perspective of history. He sees history as a stage on which God is controlling everything. And Daniel answers the question, what is the question? How can a Christian live in a world that is hostile to God and to you. As you study Daniel, always remember that the main character is not the emperors and the rulers. The main character isn't even Daniel. The main character is God. What is God doing? Who is God? This is what Daniel teaches us. So it is a perfect time of the year, at the beginning of a new year, to study Daniel, to study this book, and to see what God is doing in the world. So I encourage you to go home and through the next month in January, read through the book of Daniel carefully and see in each chapter how God portrays himself and what God is doing and how God is directing the affairs of the world. Read it together with your children. It contains stories that they will love. The story of the fiery furnace, the story of Daniel in the lion's den. But it contains many other great truths that we need to hear. God is going to show Nebuchadnezzar in this chapter that he is the one who raises up kings and who takes down kings and empires. He is the sovereign God, Jehovah, who rules over all. God is showing his purpose to build an everlasting kingdom that will rule over all other kingdoms. And no kingdom will be able to destroy it or overcome it. God's central purpose is to redeem this world for himself and to enthrone King Jesus as ruler over all, forever and ever. I hope that this is an encouragement for you as we begin a new year. Many Christians are very anxious, wondering what's going on in our world today. What's going on in our nation? Daniel gives us the answer. God has not forgotten you. You are not alone. God does care. And God is in control. Let me give you a very personal illustration. As many of you know, I have 3 children, 5 grandchildren, one of which you know very well, Eben. But sometimes I worry about my grandchildren and wonder what kind of world they will grow up in. What will the world be like 20 or 30 years from now? It's already changing so fast. I grew up in the 1950s and 60s. There were no cell phones. There were no computers. There was no internet. It was only black and white TV with 3 channels, and rabbit ear antennas. But I could walk to school. I could ride my bike everywhere. I could play baseball or football on the corner lot. I could run all over the neighborhood and no one would complain. Seemed like it was an ideal time. Peace and safety. But now the world is changing so much and so fast. Sometimes I worry for my grandchildren. But then God reminds me that He is in control. The whole world is in His hands. His kingdom will conquer all others. This is an important lesson, and a lesson we need to constantly remind ourselves and to teach our children. Whatever man may do, man cannot stop the advance of the kingdom of God. There is no part of this world where God's kingdom will not ultimately triumph. That is why that's one of my favorite hymns is "Jesus Shall Reign Where'er the Sun Doth His Successive Journeys Run. His kingdom stretch from shore to shore till moons shall wax and wane no more. Blessings abound where'er He reigns. The prisoner leaps to loose his chains. The weary find eternal rest, and all the sons of want are blessed. Let every creature rise and bring peculiar honors to our King. Angels descend, and songs again, and earth repeats the loud Amen. You and I need to remember this and hold on to it at the beginning of the new year. The book of Hebrews tells us we received a kingdom that cannot be shaken. That's what God's doing. Now, what is Nebuchadnezzar doing? There's a crisis in the court. Oops. Nebuchadnezzar has had a dream, and this dream has shaken him. He faces a dream and a dilemma. He's upset. He's terrified. He can't sleep. He keeps having the same dream over and over again. And no one can tell him the dream or what it means. Something is very disturbing about this dream. And he can't calm down. He can't understand it. He's out of control. This little dream has turned him violent and terrified him. Here is a man who is the most powerful ruler in all the world, more powerful than any ruler we have today in our world. Because he did not control just one country, he controlled literally the whole world, from Egypt as far away as China. He was the ultimate emperor. But he is totally insecure by this little dream. In Nebuchadnezzar, we see a restless man, a man without God. As Augustine said, God has made us for ourselves, and our hearts are restless until we find our rest in Him. Nebuchadnezzar has no peace because he does not know God. Since Nebuchadnezzar does not know God, he calls in all the wise men to get wisdom from them. But they are men who have no wisdom. This reminds us of Jesus' description of the Pharisees. He said they are blind guides. They are blind leading the blind, and both will fall into the pit. These so-called wise men had no wisdom. They couldn't understand the dream. They were unable to tell Nebuchadnezzar his dream or what it meant. Their problem was they were false prophets and false wise men. They had no special knowledge. There are a lot of men today, just like these supposed wise men, who tell you they have a lot of wisdom, but really know nothing. Beware of false prophets, Jesus said. They come to you in sheep's clothing. Beware. Trust God. Trust the scriptures. Do you know that the world ended in 1914? So why are you here today? That's one of the teachings of the Jehovah's Witnesses. But when that didn't happen, they said that it would end in 1927. And when that didn't happen, they said it would end in 1975. And when that prediction didn't happen, they stopped making predictions. But they got all of those false teachings from their understanding of the book of Daniel. Now Nebuchadnezzar is beginning to get really angry. And he's out of his mind. And he thinks the wise men are forming a conspiracy against him. And he tells them that he will kill them and all their families and destroy their homes if they don't tell him his dream and what it means. But they can't. So he issues a decree that they should be killed. And the wise men complain. They say that no king has ever requested such a difficult and unreasonable request before. No king ever demanded anything like this. The wise men say, there is no one except God who could reveal something like this. And God doesn't live among us. And God hasn't come in the flesh. It's interesting that we study this passage now at this time, right at Christmas, when we just studied, or we just celebrated Jesus coming in the flesh. God sent his son Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, who came to live among us, to die for us. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Finally, the wise men have said something that's true. Now Nebuchadnezzar realizes that he really has two problems. First, he can't understand his dream, and this is driving him crazy. And second, he can't trust the wise men, who aren't wise men at all. They're useless. So he orders all the wise men to be killed. And this includes Daniel. He orders their families to be killed and them to be torn limb from limb and their houses destroyed. And the word that Scripture uses in this passage is a very strong word. It doesn't just mean that their houses will be knocked down, but their houses will be turned into garbage dumps. What is important for us to see here in Nebuchadnezzar and his anger at the wise men is not that he's just angry at the wise men, but he's angry against God. So what is Daniel going to do? We have seen what God is doing, and we have seen Nebuchadnezzar's reaction. What is Daniel going to do? Remember, at this time, Daniel is just an 18-year-old teenager. And by the end of the book of Daniel, he's about 90 years old. But at this time, he's only about 18 years old. But this teaches us the importance of teaching our children the Scriptures and the promise that God has given us in Proverbs. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. There's a sharp contrast here between Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar was restless and couldn't sleep, scared, terrified, out of his mind. But Daniel is a man full of peace and wisdom and faith. Nebuchadnezzar trusts men, but Daniel trust God. We see five things that Daniel does that are models for us when we face a crisis. First, Daniel was a man of peace. Daniel is amazingly calm, even though his life is in danger. Daniel is completely in control because he knows the peace of God. In Psalm 29, it says, "The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace." This was the kind of peace that Daniel had, and the kind of peace that you can have if you trust God. Peace that passes all understanding. Second, Daniel was a man of wisdom. Daniel acts in wisdom in response to the king's decree. This wisdom has come to him from God because he knows God and he knows God's word. He took time to respond and he shared his needs with his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And together they prayed. This is the power of the body of Christ working together. This is the blessing that God has given us as a church, as part of the body of Christ. All of us together, encouraging one another, praying for one another, helping one another. This is the body of Christ, the church. Third, Daniel was a man of prayer. He was a man who prayed several times a day. For Daniel, prayer was not a way to find the answer. Prayer was the answer. Because he had faith in God, that God would answer his prayers. He prayed that God would reveal this dream to him. And when God revealed it, he gave all the glory and the praise to God. In chapter 6 of Daniel, it says that Daniel prayed regularly 3 times every day. That's more than 1,000 times a year. Just think, if each of us in this room made a New Year's resolution that we would pray 3 times a day, every day this next year, that would be more than 100,000 prayers. Just imagine what God could do. Fourth, Daniel was a man of praise. Daniel gave all the glory to God. He thanked God, and he blessed God. He worshiped God. He praises God because God is in control. And when he goes to Nebuchadnezzar, he tells God, Nebuchadnezzar, "This comes from God." 4 times Daniel spoke and gave all the praise and the glory to God. Finally, Daniel trusted God. Daniel's confidence was in God. It was not a self-confidence, and it was not a confidence in men. Daniel is an example of a grace-transformed life. He trusted God, and others could trust him. And he could go to Nebuchadnezzar and he could tell Nebuchadnezzar a message that he didn't want to hear. But God shows himself one who trusts God Nebuchadnezzar is forced to turn to Daniel to get an answer to his dilemma. Daniel, who is one of his captives, who is just a teenage boy, to find the answer to his crisis in Daniel must have been very humbling to Nebuchadnezzar. He asked Daniel if he can tell him the dream. And the first thing that Daniel says is no. Then Daniel continues, and he says, "But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries and secrets, and he has made known to Nebuchadnezzar what he will do." And Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar, "I know these things not because I am wiser than any other men, but because the God of heaven has revealed these things to me." It is all about what God has done, what God is doing. He removes and he sets up kings. He gives wisdom and knowledge to those who seek him. He gives understanding and reveals secrets. He is the absolute sovereign power over all history and men. He is the righteous one. This is the confession of a man of faith. Now Daniel has everyone's attention. Daniel begins to tell Nebuchadnezzar what his dream was. And that must have made Nebuchadnezzar very proud and thought of himself as very important. "I am the first of these great kingdoms." Daniel describes a statue with a head of gold that is high and that shines in the sky for miles around. And the statue then has a chest of silver and a waist of bronze and legs of iron and feet of clay. But that's not the strangest part about this dream. Suddenly, a small stone appears, not cut out and broken off by hands. And it hits the statue in the feet. And the statue crumbles and turns to dust. And the wind blows it away. And then after that, the small stone begins to grow. And it grows into a great mountain. And it covers the whole earth. What does this mean? Daniel tells Nebuchadnezzar that he is the head of gold. He is the first of these great empires. He must have thought of himself as greater than anyone else has ever been. I am the greatest. I am the head of gold. Then he describes the other kingdoms to Nebuchadnezzar. But the most remarkable part of this dream is the small stone that comes out of nowhere and destroys the whole statue. What does it mean? Daniel says that in these days, God will set up his kingdom, a kingdom which will never be destroyed, and it will crush and put an end to all other kingdoms, and it will endure forever and ever. This kingdom is different than all the others. It keeps growing and growing and growing until it covers the whole earth and destroys all the other kingdoms. It's an everlasting kingdom. It's the kingdom of God, and it will prevail forever and ever. And every time you pray the Lord's Prayer, you pray that this kingdom will come. It's not a kingdom that's built on military power, so no military power can destroy it. It's not a kingdom that is built on wealth and riches, so it can't be robbed, can't be bought. It's built on mercy and justice and love and grace. There's no other kingdom like it. This is the kingdom of God. Jesus said, "This kingdom is within you." This is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the message of Daniel. That's the message of the dream and the statue. It's not about Daniel. It's not about Nebuchadnezzar. It's not even about these great world empires. It's about God and God's rule over men. What kind of kingdom are you building? Every one of us is building some kind of kingdom. What are you doing? Why are you doing it? What foundation are you building on? Wood, hay, and stubble? Or on the Lord Jesus Christ, the solid rock? Most of us want to make something of ourselves. That's why we get an education. That's why we work. That's why we try to be successful. We don't want to be failures. That's natural. So whose kingdom are you building? And what is that kingdom based on? What are your dreams all about? The ultimate fulfillment of everything that Daniel's teaching us, of course, is in Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, who sits upon the throne of heaven and rules with an iron scepter and conquers all kingdoms and all men. He is the only one who deserves our worship. I want to close with two words of comfort that come to us from this passage. First, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ and you love him, you are part of this kingdom. Second, the people of God have assurance from God that this kingdom will ultimately triumph over all other kingdoms forever and ever. The kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever, and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Just as God used Daniel 2,300 years ago, God wants to use you today to reveal his glory to the nations. What a tremendous challenge, calling, and privilege. Are you up for it? The beginning of a new year? Dare to be a Daniel. Let's pray. Almighty God, we praise and we thank you that in this world of uncertainty and change, that you are in control of all things, and that we can trust you because you love us so much. You care for us. Thank you, Lord, for this word of encouragement this morning as we begin a new year. May we look to you throughout the year for your grace and your love. And may we share it with others who need it so badly. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.